Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the question that must be asked and I believe needs to be answered. Will Christians face persecution in America? I believe the answer to that is succinctly yes, without any equivocation. The Bible has warned us of that. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said it would take place. Why should we doubt it when we see what is being set up as the stage being set in American governance today? Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm reading an article that says, judge says the state, listen, that the state can force Christians to violate their religious beliefs. Now, you would have thought that'd be impossible just a few years ago. Most of us would have said that a judge would never make that kind of rendering in a court in the United States of America. Many would have said that they would not believe that America would decline to the point and position that our Christian conscience would be prosecuted and persecutable and persecuted on a persecutable basis by the nuance of law. And yet that is what we see. This comes out of the Jack Phillips Masterpiece Cake Shop in Denver, Colorado. It says, a Colorado judge has stunningly ruled that an artist's creation artist's creations are not speech at all, and the state is allowed to force a baker, cake baker, to violate his own religious beliefs in order to submit the demands of a transgender activist. The ruling from Bruce Jones, a judge in the state's second judicial district, came in a lawsuit brought by Autumn Scandra, S-C-R-A-N-D-I-A, a lawyer who was born a man and now lives as a woman. He demanded a cake from Jack Phillips' Masterpiece Cake Shop in Denver, a suburb, Colorado. He wanted it to be pink and blue to mark his transition to a woman. Phillips, it's already been under attack in Colorado, this anti-discrimination law for declining to provide a wedding cake for the same-sex duo. A state commission publicly excoriated him for his faith and likened him to a Nazi, an act that ultimately brought a rebuke from the U.S. Supreme Court for being hostile to his faith. The court decided Phillips' case 7-2. Critical to that decision was the fact that the evidence revealed that when homosexual bakers in Colorado are asked to create a cake condemning homosexuality, they refused on the grounds that it was a message that they could not support. The state supported their refusal, yet Jack Phillips was to undergo re-indoctrination because he wanted the same control over his message. Jones, the judge, opinion was that the Colorado law and its demands on an artist's speech does not infringe on the defendant's religious exercise of his faith, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just a little, how would you say, a blip on the radar. That's just a little tip on the scales, because this is happening on a global basis, but more particularly right here in the United States of America. We're finding today, ladies and gentlemen, it is what I call a crusade against the morals, the ethics, and the values for the faith, the family, and the freedom in our great nation. It is a crusade against Christians. It's an anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-church, anti-morals, anti-values and ethics in the United States of America. I don't think there's ever been a time in the history of our nation when that is any more evident than we're seeing today, where it is the crusade against Christians, a crusade against the morals and ethics and values, a crusade against the conservatives, and ladies and gentlemen, the patriots. Perhaps you read recently of the reporter that got all upset when she saw trucks and a Trump rally with American flags. And she said she felt intimidated. She felt that it was anti-freedom, anti-person, because she saw the flags. And it was intimidating and bothersome to her to see so many U.S. flags. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I believe that there'll come a day in America when there will be the love to see the American flag flowing again, a delight to see the American flag flowing that said it's the land of the free and the home of the brave, because we're headed on the fast track, ladies and gentlemen, for a demoralization of America, the destruction of our Constitution, and the evisceration of our Bill of Rights, and the closure of churches, and the persecution, the prosecution of Christians. We're setting the stage now, this very day, to do that very thing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a crusade against, as I said, the morals and the ethics and the values and the faith and the freedom in America as never before. The coup in 2020, hear me, the coup in 2020, in the 2020 election, there was a de facto coup to overthrow the presidential election, to overthrow Donald J. Trump. That coup was successful. That coup will ultimately be unveiled. Right now in America, with about six of the battleground states, each and every one of them, Georgia, Arizona, North Carolina, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, what is not being touted, what is not being reported by the secular Marxist media is the fact that they're continuing with the investigatory work on the Dominion hardware, the Dominion software, and what was taking place behind the scenes to overthrow the election. They will ultimately discover that, but it'll be too late from the standpoint of reversing anything. Ladies and gentlemen, our Constitution does not allow any reversal of a presidential election once it's been certified and the person sworn into office. So Joe Biden is the president. But I'm concerned about where we're going as a nation when about September, October, November, December, it is fully discovered and fully revealed that, in fact, the election was stolen. Now, hear what I'm saying. What I'm saying today, and the position that I'm taking and have taken on that now since the election, the position that multitudes have taken on that, which is called a conspiracy theory, once that is revealed that it is, in fact, not a conspiracy theory, but a fact, we're going to find major, major, major speeding up of the approach in the Biden administration to squelch anything that is said negative about the election, anything that said negative about the Wuhan China virus. I believe it was President Trump called it the Wuhan flu or the China flu, China virus. Ladies and gentlemen, that's very real. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
You know, we're watching the militarization of every agency of government by the Democrats against their perceived political foes. We watch this under Obama. We actually saw this to a degree under George H.W. Bush. They use the tools that they're given, the power that they're given to achieve power and to maintain power. And right now they're pushing to maintain perpetual power. And we see that in House, HB1, whatever that, their first piece of presented legislation was to federalize elections and to perpetuate the corruption, to make cheating easy. You know, to prevent signature verification, to, you know, open up what they consider the ballot harvesting across the United States, to have the mail-in ballots be ubiquitous, you know, everywhere throughout the land. And we know that there's chaos that's being created by that. Now, when we moved in and pushed back in Afghanistan and Iraq, overnight those folks established a process of secure elections. I mean, I remember seeing Iraqis hold their finger in the air their finger was dipped in indelible ink, okay? So they go and vote. They present an ID to vote. They dip their finger in indelible ink. And guess what? They don't get to vote again, and that shows that they actually did vote, and their ID shows they are who they say they are. How you like that? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how come, you know, that's good in Iraq, but that's bad in America? And we don't want to, as conservatives, as Republicans, as constitutionalists, as patriots, we don't want to reduce the ability of an individual to vote, but we do want to reduce corruption within the voting system. Now, these folks carry it a step further. Historically, you talk about the attack on the church, the attack on moral immorality, the attack on decency, and we're flying this LGBTQIAP flag on our embassies around the world. Mm-hmm. How in the world does that represent the United States of America? It's divisive. It's divisive.
It's divisive, and it represents, Greg. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our four sons, Greg. Greg hails from the southern tip of heaven, as he calls it, up in Tennessee, the northern tip, northeast tip of Tennessee. I'm thankful to have Greg with us today as we talk about this issue. Greg, one of the things, and you touched on H.R. 1, which is now Senate 1, which is the federalization, if it is passed, the federalization of all elections in the United States of America. And it's right now being held in abeyance by Chuck Schumer so that he can try to do so without the 60 votes that would be required. He could do so just by a 50-plus-1 vote. And they're wanting to fast-track that, Greg, in my most humble opinion, to have that as the federal law for elections prior to the ultimate discovery and the revealing of the fact that the election of 2020 was, in fact, a coup. It was a stolen election. So that once that takes place, the federal election law will be in place, and nothing could be done to make any changes or amendments to that. I believe that's the reason they're on such a push for the fast track with that. But just as you've said, I believe this is the H.R. 1, which is now Senate 1, and H.R. 5, which is now Senate 5, those are the two bills that Chuck Schumer is pressing to get passed, and it's being pressed and pushed by Joe Biden because that will give the final grip, the final grasp, the final straw, the final, cudgel that will then beat America into submission and take control by the federal government, which will absolutely destroy our Bill of Rights. Do you see it that way?
It's playing out that way, and unless some Christians are willing to stand up and speak up now in their House chambers across America, call their representatives, call their senators, actually engage. And by the way, when I say engage, understand, you look back in time, the lowest learner IRS used the IRS for political purposes. They shut down the tax-exempt status request by over 300 Tea Party groups, over 300. That was in order to affect the outcome of the 2012 election, and they did so successfully. When I say they did so successfully, if an individual is trained on the Constitution, and they're trained on the Bill of Rights, they're trained on the foundations of our government, guess what? They will be trained on conservative principles, all right? And if you're trained on conservative principles, you're not going to go down and punch the ballot for the blue ticket. I mean, it's just reality, folks. These folks are anti-constitution. They swear to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, and they don't mean it. I mean, do you believe Rashidi Tlaib or Ilhan Omar or AOC or right down the list? Do you think those folks are interested in preserving the Constitution? No. They intend to pervert the Constitution. Here we are today seeing Lois Lerner 2.0 in the IRS. They wrote a letter the other day denying the 501c3 tax-exempt status to an institution, and they, in their letter, wrote specifically, you educate Christians on what the Bible says in areas where they can be instrumental. Do you hear this, folks? Including the areas of sanctity of life, the definition of marriage, biblical justice, freedom of speech, defense of the borders, da-da-da-da. They go down the list, and they go, guess what? You can't do this. You can't do – stop. We can't share what the Bible has to say. You know, as much as you think that those issues are political, folks, the origins of the right positions on those are found in the Scripture. They are biblical issues. They're Christian Absolutely. Issues. They are what the world calls religious issues. And Article 1, I'm sorry, Amendment 1 says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, nor prohibit the free exercise thereof. So that particular letter, that particular refusal to give 501c3 status will be overturned if it's done, if it's seen rightly. It will be overturned by the court, but they will have to fight to get what's right. And I've oftentimes said that when you fight with the government, at the end of the day, the best you can expect is what you should have gotten before the fight began. All right.
Absolutely.
But Christians, if you withdraw from the process, Christians, if you don't engage, guess who wins? Satan wins in the end. Leftists win. Individuals that hate Christianity win. So you must engage. You have to be a good citizen as much as you have to be a good Christian. All right. The two work hand in hand.
In fact, Greg, I believe you touched on it, and I'm looking at an article that I believe substantiates what you just said. IRS makes extraordinary determination. Biblical values exclusively Republican. Christian organizations across America will remember vividly the orchestrated attack on their fellows that developed under Barack Obama. That was when the Internal Revenue Service badgered faith organizations that wanted to operate and be recognized as tax-exempt organizations under the law. They were badgered, bullied, and bludgeoned with unreasonable requests for details, including personal information about the participants. The major tactic was to simply delay, so that they could not operate during the 2012 presidential election. And it goes on to talk about how this is being brought about today. And it further says, in a letter issued in May, the IRS argued that the Christians Engaged, that's the name of the organization, was not eligible for 501c3 status, in part because Bible teachings are typically affiliated with the Republican Party and the Republican candidates, the legal team explained. The IRS states in an official letter that biblical values are exclusively Republican. And it goes further to state only a politicized IRS could see Americans who pray for their nation, vote for the election, and work to engage others in the political process as a threat to the administration, end quote. And that's exactly what we see taking place today, Greg. Let's switch gears for just a moment. Are you familiar with the Department of Justice, Merrick Garland's new, I believe it's a 31-page, one writer said 28-page, another said 40 pages. It's 31 pages, I believe, of the document about domestic terrorism. Greg, based on what you know on that document, are we as believers considered now to be domestic terrorists? If so, how, and if so, why?
My goodness. It does seem like they're, you know, up is becoming down and down is becoming up. Evil is being called good and good is being called evil. If you happen to be a, using old acronyms, old terminology, or a white heterosexual Christian male, you're allowed to be discriminated against under this current Department of Justice, under this current IRS, under this current woke philosophy that has permeated the culture. Somehow or another, you're the only class that is completely unprotected, and beyond that, you know, now they're tagging conservatives, Christians, white nationalists, right, lumping us together. By the way, lumping us together, I would have to say we have to start looking at definitions too. What is a white nationalist? I happen to be lighter skin color. I think we're all shades of brown, really. I happen to be a light skin color, and I am proud of my nation. I think this is the greatest nation on God's green earth. Does that make me a white nationalist? I guess if you're a leftist, woke heathen, you probably look at me and go, yeah, that boy's a white nationalist over there. But what the terminologies that they're using, many times they intend to rope in anyone that happens to be a conservative or a Christian or a constitutionalist, and you're the radical. You're the radical. Now they're doing the reviews within the military. At the same time, look at the language that they use in these stand down reviews. It doesn't look like they see Antifa as a threat, even though Antifa was happy to burn down the nation last summer. It doesn't look like they consider BLM a threat, even though they helped to nearly burn down the country last summer. I guess they don't see Russia and China as a threat because they're not listed as the number one threat. And we just had Lori Lightfoot Lee, whatever her name is, there in Chicago, say that racism is somehow it's a national, it's an emergency, this, that, and the other thing. And you go, the south side of Chicago may kill 40, 50, 60 people on a really bad weekend, all right? But racism is not the cause of that. About 80 or 90% of those murders are black folks that have been murdered. 80 or 90% of the murderers happen to be black. How does racism play into that equation? Everything has gotten upside down. We're in this culture, we're no longer able to address issues head on. Everything has to be a political curveball in order to assault their perceived political foes. Each one of these things are aggressive tactics against the left's perceived political foes. That happens to be anybody that's not them. It's perverse. And that's exactly what they accuse the right of doing.
I'm looking at American Family Association newsletter, and he says this: it's going to be a long, hot summer, and I'm not talking about the weather. I'm talking about the battle between the emboldened left, which is flat out pushing the nation toward a godless Marxism, and those of us who are standing firm on our convictions that America's only hope is the return to our Christian foundations. This writer says it's hard to understand why our nation's dominant institutions, business, education, the arts, and the media, government, entertainment, even some in the church, have aligned itself against life, against biblical morality, free speech, marriage, and family, and even for our home and those that we love. And Franklin Graham answers it pretty succinctly. He says, some people have blinders on. Franklin Graham warns that America is under attack from within, and most are not even paying attention to it because they have blinders on. Greg, with the Department of Justice and the new domestic terrorist edict that has just been put out at the behest of Joe Biden, burning down police precincts is not a domestic terrorist. Burning down federal courthouse buildings is not domestic terrorism. The BLM's bombing of expressways and the bombing of buildings and the burning of cities is not domestic terrorism. FBI's work and the operations of undercover and what they're doing to enhance that, bombing ICE facilities is not domestic terrorism. But if you are white, if you are a conservative, if you are a Christian, if you are an elected a person that questions the election and you have any doubts about the election, if you are a no-vaxxer, if you're no masker, if you're a COVID-19 question about China virus coming out of Wuhan, China lab, then you are a domestic terrorist, according to the new documents out of the DOJ. Greg, hold on a minute. We have a caller. Go over the question or comment, please.
I mean, it's so sad to see what's going on in America. I heard somebody over the weekend that he read one of those communist race theories, the CRT, and that's really appealing. There's an example there that you own a store and there's two customers coming in, a white and a black. You take care of the black first, you are a racist because you don't trust the black people in your store. If you take care of the white, that's a white privilege that you don't care about the black. So either way, the store owner doesn't win, especially if you are white. How crazy is this, brother? This is the Democrats trying to divide the country even more. And it's sad to say, but many people are not opening their eyes, especially in the Christian community. All this is to divide this nation, unfortunately. And all it started about, 15, 20 years ago, between this color race and that color race. Now I feel discriminated about it because I'm a Latino 100%, and they approve Juneteenth. Hey, where's my holiday? I'm a minority too. I feel discriminated. Where can I go to complain and march and protest and why like a little loony Democrat demanding to give me another day for myself because I'm a minority too? You see what I'm saying? This is all division. This is all nonsense. And let's be clear, brother. We know what the Bible says. The Jews, they were the slaves from Egypt. They were slaves in biblical times. Are they whining and complaining about slavery and asking for reparations? No. That's something from the past. But it's sad to hear the politicians using that to divide this great nation that we all love so much. God bless you, brother. Thank you for your programming. And it's just appealing what's going on in this country. Thank you very much, brother.
Yes, it is. Jose, thank you so much for your comment. Greg, do you have a comment for what Jose just said?
Yeah, Jose hit the nail on the head. I love when the hypocrisy is pointed out so clearly and articulately. I mean, today, should Purim be a national holiday? You know, that was the day that the Jews actually were able to defend themselves back in Esther's day. Should that be a national holiday today? Should we have a national holiday on the day that the last
Chinese person was enslaved in America. Should we have a holiday for the last day an Irish person was enslaved in the colonies in the United States that became the United States? Right down the list. I mean, as we go down this course, it's just like tearing down the statues. It's let's get you hot and involved and hot and bothered about something that does not really matter. But I will say, if you're going to celebrate Juneteenth, and by the way, that was a Texas thing for many decades. The notion of being a national holiday doesn't really fit. But if you're going to celebrate Juneteenth, you better celebrate it for the right reason. That was the day that Republicans rescued those black slaves from their Democrat owners, folks. Understand that the Democrats fought the 13th Amendment, which freed the slaves, the 14th Amendment, which gave equal protection to former slaves, the 15th Amendment that allowed former slaves, black folks, to vote in America. They fought against the Civil Rights Act. Democrats are playing a game. It's a divisive game. But if we teach true history, guess what, folks? The Democrats would be very embarrassed. They don't want people to realize they were the founders of Jim Crow laws. They were the founders of the KKK. They're the ones that sought to and still seek to enslave individuals today. They like to enslave folks in a communist state, a socialist state, a welfare state. You know, we've seen this building ever since the Johnson administration, folks. This is nothing has changed. Today they want the borders open, the floodgate open, because they want a whole new class of folks in this country that they can say, hey, we're gonna help you. You just need to vote for us. And it's a lie. They want more slaves.
By the end of this year, we're told there'll be over 2 million illegals coming into America that will be embraced by the Biden administration. Greg, we've got about 2 minutes. Got about 2 minutes left on the broadcast, but simply put, in the DOJ's new domestic terrorist 31-page document, they list racism as being domestic terrorism. And keep in mind now, the stage has been set for over a year with them pushing the critical race theory to make it look as though America is a racist nation. That's number one in their document. Number two, if you question the government lockdowns, if you question the mask requirements, if you say that the election was stolen, then you are a domestic terrorist. And the third thing in the section on incitement for domestic terrorism, if you print, speak, publish anything that quotes or challenges the Biden administration, if you say anything about the challenge to the election or about COVID-19 source, then you're inciting a riot and therefore you're a domestic terrorist. So, Greg, we've got about 20 seconds left. If you would just close our broadcast out today with a challenge to our listeners, to the Christians, and to the conservatives.
Genesis 50:20 says, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. But I'll tell you, folks, you've got to engage for God to bring out the good in the chaos that's going on in this world. Engage, believer. Engage today.
Amen. Greg, thank you so much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.